Here we are together making our way through life on a Wednesday in the middle of the month of July. However you are listening, coast to coast on the radio and all the way around the world on this podcast, welcome. To be sure, if you believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your sin has been forgiven, wiped out, by only His grace given to you. That's true. What is also true is that you, like me, face temptation to sin again and again and again. What are we, as Christ people, to do about the many and various forms of temptation that our enemy Satan throws our way, even this very morning, afternoon, and evening? How can we firmly say no to the seductive ways of the devil? Well, that is what we're going to be learning together this week on God Is, and I'm glad you're here. Yesterday, I got us started by talking with you about three realities regarding temptation. Do you remember these? I said that temptation strikes us hardest when, first, we have had some spiritual success. Second, when we are tired and hungry. And third, when we are underestimating the devil's determination. We covered the first one. Temptation strikes the hardest when we have had some spiritual success. I believe every Christian within the sound of my voice has experienced exactly this, and/or you definitely will. That is how Satan operates. And last time I used myself as an example. As a pastor preaching God's word, Sunday afternoons are always the time when the evil one strikes hard with temptation of various kinds. That was not to say Sundays are the only days when I am tempted to sin. No. Like you, I am tempted to sin 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if I did not preach and teach the word of God the way God intended, then I would be less tempted to sin. That's for sure. You see, Satan goes after spiritual successes. He did with Jesus, and he does with us. That is what we discussed on Tuesday. Today, being Wednesday, let's move on to the second reality about temptation. Temptation strikes us the hardest when we are tired and hungry. My guess is that you have also experienced this. When are you most tempted to lash out in anger at your spouse and children? When are you most tempted to lose your patience with a colleague? When are you most tempted to go to the mobile phone and fulfill the lust of the flesh for sex and/or shopping? When? Well, it is when you are fresh out of energy, tired, and yes, even hungry. Millennials call that being hangry. Hangry. It's a made-up word pulling together hunger and anger. There is a strong link between what happens in our bodies physically and spiritually. The devil is apparently aware of this, and he strikes when we are running very low on energy. That's why we can make the case the evil one is at his best at night. After a long and tiring day, when maybe we did not eat and exercise as we should have, he's waiting for us. And like a snake in the grass, when we cannot see ahead and plant our foot, he bites. And in our text, in Matthew 4, this is exactly when the devil comes up against Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 2 says, "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry." Here is Jesus, and he is understandably hungry. And that is when the temptations begin. When most of us think of being hungry, that only means we haven't eaten or had any water in as little as an hour, or even less, depending on how you've treated your body and whether or not your relationship with food is healthy or unhealthy. But Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights. And remember, Jesus is fully human. He is like us in that respect. So Jesus became hungry, and he was no doubt tired. This is the wilderness, after all, where Mark's gospel says wild beasts were lurking. Recently, my wife and I went to eat at one of our favorite Boston restaurants. It's called The Daily Catch. And if you're from here or will visit, perhaps even this summer, do not miss it. It's located on Hanover Street in Boston's North End. And I get zero money or benefits from telling you this, believe me. Anyway, get there early because they don't take reservations. We did. 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. opening, and when we get there, the line was 20 people deep, which happened to be the cutoff for the first group allowed to enter this very good seafood restaurant. Well, the family behind us was interesting to watch. It was a family of four, and the dad declared, out loud, his volume was on high, I am hangry. There is that word again. And as the minutes went by and turned into over an hour-long wait, he gave in to the temptation to express his anger for all of us to see. We felt genuinely bad for his wife and children. He got really angry. Now, I do not know if he was a believer. I doubt it. But I know this. The devil tempts believers and unbelievers alike. And we saw firsthand what happens when someone is very low on physical and mental energy. Satan tempts, and they sin. Christians, we have to be very aware of the devil's temptations at all times, but especially when we are tired and hungry. Frankly, I am amazed at how when I feel tempted to sin, if I will just eat something like a simple piece of fruit to lift my sinking blood sugar, I'll sin less. Or if I will surrender myself to a good night's rest instead of staying up late, then I'll sin less. Satan presents the nighttime as the best time for us to unleash our sinful nature. He'd rather you sin than sleep. He'd rather you sin than eat something. And so when you are tired and hungry, there he is, most prominently positioned, to woo you with whatever will make you fall. But thanks be to God, Jesus is going to teach us how not to give in to temptation, even when we are tired and hungry. So stay tuned. And my third insight, as I give you an overview of verses 3 through 10 of Matthew 4 and temptation, is this. Temptation strikes the hardest when we underestimate the devil's determination. Notice in this text, when you read it, how persistent the devil is. He comes on strong and stronger the more Jesus denies him. There is no rest for the weary when it comes to temptation to sin. You must understand this about our Lord out there in the wilderness alone with the devil. Repeatedly, Jesus was tempted. But the temptation did not end there. We make a big mistake if we get to Matthew 4, verse 11, the first part. Then the devil left Jesus. And if we assume that after this wilderness experience, Satan never came against Jesus again. That is not true. Let me demonstrate from the Bible. Listen to Luke chapter 4 and now verse 13. As I have said, the gospel writer Luke also recorded the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, and listen to how Luke finishes his perspective on this true scene. Luke 4:13 reads, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left Jesus until an opportune time." Notice how that verse ends. He left Jesus until an opportune time. Opportune time means the devil isn't done. He will be back. And of course, he pursued Jesus all the rest of Jesus' earthly life. We read about this in the Gospels. Now you might say, give me another example, Mark. Okay, I'll do that. In John's Gospel at chapter 6, Jesus performs a miracle as he feeds at least 20,000 hungry people. Here is the matter of hunger again. Your Bible will have an italics above John 6, something like, Christ feeds 5,000. But the number of people fed was much higher than that when we add in women and children who were also there. Anyway, after the Lord does this, in verse 15, the Bible says, this is John 6, verse 15, "So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone." That's John chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, to be clear, Jesus is king. King Jesus is always a very accurate description of Christ. Always. However, in his earthly ministry, for Jesus to be made king by the people, out of their recognition of his power to feed and to heal them, would have been too early because it would have jeopardized all that Christ still had to do prior to God's timing for the coronation. And I draw your attention to this today because to me, this is another example of Jesus being tempted by the devil via the crowds. The evil one tries to play to Jesus' true identity, but attempts to push forward the timetable of God. The devil wants this crowd to successfully hail Jesus as king now. But notice what the Lord does. He retreats. When the crowd thrusts forward and tries to take Jesus by force, he withdraws to the mountainside all alone. Jesus successfully resists another of Satan's temptations for him. The temptations of Jesus recorded in Matthew 4 and Mark 1 and Luke 4 are not the only times when Jesus was tempted to sin. Matthew 4 is not what the accountants call a one-off. This is not a one-off temptation. My friends listening today, temptation strikes us the hardest when we underestimate the devil's determination. Do not underestimate the steadfastness of Satan to bring you down, beloved Christians. He's a tenacious devil. This is why for us, the struggle to overcome our temptations is a lifelong battle. One does not cease sinning because one is in Christ. No, in fact, temptation increases when we walk with our Lord in the light of His Word. The tempter comes for believers in Jesus because he knows we have Christ, whereas the unbelieving world does not, and so the devil already has them trapped in their sin and unrighteousness. But he seeks our destruction. He wants more than anything to sever our relationship with God. The Bible says he's like a roaring, hungry lion seeking to devour Christians. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And so I want to encourage us as we end today to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Be battle ready every day. Even if you think you know this text well, please read and then obey what Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17 says to do. If you will do this, then the devil will flee from you. Well, we have to end here, but please come back at this same time tomorrow and we'll go into the details of the first temptation and then onwards from there. Invite someone who's struggling with sin to join you and then be here, for God is...